Hello and welcome to the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. The notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
So we've been doing this series, right? Okay, we're into 11 here. Let's see, how many Rockies were there? Like 14 or something like that? I don't know. So we're gonna outdo Rocky here. But you know, it's just, the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night and just gave me a word. And I thought, maybe this is my whole message for today. So I want to make sure that I give you that, all right? And, you know, because I used to, you know, keep 3x5 cards. And then I found out I can email myself from my cell phone in bed. So I don't even have to get up and get the 3x5 card anymore. So I just emailed this to myself. But, you know, that all that we're talking about, all of this. You know, this is our 11th week on this whole going through 1 Corinthians 1 through 11 to prepare ourselves to step into this thing about spiritual gifts and then stepping in and starting to just, you know, move towards this thing and understanding and what is this all about, all right? And the Lord just woke me up in the middle of the night and this is what he said to me. He said, this is all about Jesus and the gospel message. You know, you understand? Because that is one of the things that as believers we often get wrong. Right, is that God starts to move, and we think it's about the move of God. No, the move of God is about Jesus. All right, and so what it is that, you know, in Revelation, picture this for a moment, okay? Let's just step into the Apostle John's shoes for a minute. All right, you know, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, you know, he says, and I turn around, and, you know, and here's Jesus in his, you know, glorified state standing there, you know, and anyways, and he goes through this whole thing, and at some point, Jesus invites him up to heaven, all right, and he gets up to heaven, and anyways, he meets this angel, and anyways, and at some point, John, just in total awe of this angel and this angel's abilities, falls down and starts to worship the angel. And the angel quick grabs him. Of course, we're in heaven, okay? I mean, if ever you're someplace you want to behave yourself, right? Okay, and he grabs him by the hand. He pulls him back up, and he says this to him. He says, look, I got it here. It's here. Ah, he says, this is Revelation 19:10. He says, then I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, do not do that, okay? I am a fellow servant of yours. And your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know, there are times when, and you know, if you've never been, I won't guarantee you that you're never going to be, but if you've never been in a place where actual people are just speaking for God, and it's prophetic, and it's boom, you know, and you realize, wow, this is God speaking, all right? The mistake we make is to go, whoa, prophecy, wow, prophecy's cool, all right? And it's like, no, this is about Jesus, all right? This is, you know, and so I tend to be a little suspicious of like, moving in the Spirit that ain't moving us toward Jesus, all right? Because it should, if it's the Spirit of God, all right? See, that, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit is to bring the testimony of Jesus, all right? So if it's about everything but, you know, I got some questions, you know, like, excuse me, you really think this is, you know, I mean, you know, it's like, I don't know. All right, I'm not sure if I really am going to be quick to say that was the Lord when, you know, it's all about us. You know, and then you get to the end of the meeting, you feel like, wow, that was so cool. I felt so much about me. And it's like, wait, no. By the end of that meeting, if the Lord is moving, man, we should be in awe of Jesus. All right? Okay. So, the word goes on. And basically the Lord gave me that Romans 5:5, that hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Now, that is a difficult times scripture, okay, just so you know. That is not a Disneyland scripture. Paul is speaking that to Roman Christians. He's writing it to them from, more than likely, from prison, all right, and he's telling them that, look, you know, that even when you go through tribulations, you know, the Lord is there, he's with you, and, you know, and he's going to take that tribulation, and he's going to work it for your good by bringing about, you know, this work of patience in you, and that, you know, and that patience is going to yield hope in you, and then it says, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us, all right, and so, you know, he gave me this scripture, and then the Lord spoke this to my heart in the middle of the night. God is love, and all this is about receiving a new life and a new identity that makes me a child of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, a living demonstration of the love of Jesus Christ, an invitation to others to become followers of Him together with us. God wants to empower us in ways that assure people that the love that they see in us is not from us, but from God Himself. That's what God is trying to do. And this whole thing that Paul is talking to them about in 1 Corinthians, about, and we're going to start talking about spiritual gifts and what they are and how they might work in you, all right? And you know, and I'm not going to go for a 70s kind of remake, all right? This is not, you know, this is, I believe that the work of God is always a fresh thing, that God is unfolding in our time, at this moment, in you, and He's not going to say, hey, let's do a rerun of the 50s or something. You know, it's like He's God's alive, all right, and He's doing a work now, all right? And so, if I am, you know, contradicting some of what you saw in the last move, please don't be mad. Well, you can be mad. It really doesn't matter. But just listen, okay? All right, so, but, see, here's what it is. You know, like, Dave knows this because he's seen me in Ukraine, all right? And it's like, and when I'm there, I mean, they laugh because when I speak Ukrainian, I sound Ukrainian, all right? And they ask, you know, where your family is from? You know, what city, you know, in Ukraine? Said, no, they're from America. Yeah, but... Okay, you don't understand. Your family in Ukraine, where is they are from? You know, and it's like, no. And and so in order for me to actually become Ukrainian, for all the Ukrainian language that I know, for all the Ukrainian culture that I'm aware of and can walk in, for all the looking like Gorbachev, and except for the birthmark, you know, I mean, you know... They tell me. Well, it was one of these funny moments in Ukraine where, you know, they say, we think you look like Gorbachev, you know, and says, except for not on sing on the head. And I says, and I tell him, I says, I got to show you something. I take off my sock and I show him I have that same birthmark on my foot. And so it's great humor, but here's the thing. I'm not Ukrainian. As far as we can tell, I mean, I'm definitely going to have to go for the Ancestry.com, you know, genetic thing and just find out. But I mean, because they keep saying I am, and my mom keeps saying I'm not, and I, you know, so. But if I, Well, that's why she did, she said, yeah, well, that's a whole other thing, which I was trying to explain at a meeting the other morning. So, anyways, you know, for me to become Ukrainian, I would have to receive a new life. I would have to receive a new identity. I would have to become a different person, okay? I can be like Ukrainian all day long because I love them, all right? And they can love me all day long because I'm like Ukrainian. But if, I want you to understand something. God doesn't want you to just act like one of His kids. He doesn't want you to just think like one of His kids or speak like one of His kids. He wants you to actually be one of His kids, all right? And so the deal was this. I will give you a new life. All right, that, you know, that whole thing of being born again, and it's kind of been overrun so many times that, you know, it shows up in humor on Saturday Night Live and stuff. I mean, it's like, you know, but to be born from above, to receive life from above, a new life, and in this new life, one of the characteristics is that you have been given this gift that God desired to empower in you. You know, that, like, my children come into my family, and they grow up, and, you know, they become dental hygienists, they become attorneys, they become whatever they're going to be, businessmen, whatever they're going to be, and, you know, And I give them their place in the family, all right? Because there's a gift that was planted. It's developed now, and they now exercise this gift, and so we make a place for them. Well, in the body of Christ, it's very much like this, all right? That what's being described here, as far as all these gifts go, is that, see, when you were born again, when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God put His Holy Spirit in your heart in a new way, all right? And so, and here's what happened, was with that came a gift, all right? Most of the gifts that we see here fall into one of two categories, either what we call power gifts or speaking gifts. All right, they're either word-driven type of things that God is doing, or, you know, things that just are unexplainable events like healing or working of miracles and those sorts of things. But that each one of us has these gifts. So why don't we see it more prevalent, you know, in the church? Well, probably because we aren't availing ourselves of what God has for us. I'm going to go for the idea that God keeps His promises, and that if we will seek Him, He'll fulfill those promises to us. Okay, and so, let's see. Let me just, I'm totally out of my notes. So if you got the notes in front of you and you're trying to figure out what on earth I'm doing here, I skipped over the manifesto that we've been reading, but yeah, let's go back. God has chosen us, okay? We rely totally on the Holy Spirit and what He gives. We are His, and immorality has no place in us. We do whatever we need to do to live a pure and devoted life. life in every circumstance, no matter what others believe, profess, or do. Yet for us, we exist for him. We exist through him. We live our life to win more people for the gospel. We train to overcome temptation, to do whatever it takes to bring glory to God. The way we live allows people to see the gospel in the best possible light. People getting saved is more important to us than anything else. And self-examination and personal spiritual house cleaning are for our benefit as we approach the things that God has for us. And then we step up into this chapter 12 concerning spiritual gifts. And I've talked to you. It's actually, he starts always concerning things supernatural. I don't want you to be those people that don't know about this. I want you to be people who do know. And then he goes on to tell them, look, you guys were into all kinds of spiritual stuff before. And he said, but it was paganry. It was wrong. You now know this, all right? And so, you know, I want you to understand that there's a simple way to know what comes from God and what doesn't come from God. That which leads us to Jesus and glorifies him, that's from God. And the stuff that moves towards the idea of God, you know, get away from Jesus and he's accursed, that's not from God. He says, so now let's just move on and start to understand what exactly it is that God is doing in your midst. And he says that there are varieties of gifts, the varieties of ministries and varieties of effects. Okay, varieties of spiritual endowments. In other words, the gift that you have is not necessarily going to be the same gift the person next to you has. All right? There are varieties of ministries or ways of or places of service. All right? See, Dave Topa sits back there in this little corner. You may not be quite aware that, in essence, the orderliness of the church and the, frankly, your safety at some points, you know, hinges on a ministry that he has. Okay, which is watchfulness. All right, he's a watchful man. All right, and so, you know, he's there and he's just being watchful. All right, I had that ministry for 20 years at Bethel. All right, I there was a little table back there, and it's funny, I still drift toward it, and I just sit on the corner of this table, and I would just watch what was going on and just, you know, interact and minister. All right, so, but each one of us has these gifts, all right? And ministries, all right? And then there are varieties of effects or operations in working, all right? And that's where, you know, so in other words, how that's going to work in you, there is no Betty Crocker formula for this, okay? There's no, well, 1, 2, 3, and that's how it's going to be. You know, it's the way that's going to work in you, all right? Usually, when God gives me a word of knowledge, I don't even know about it until like a week later, you know, or at least until I'm done. You know, it's like, you know, I remember somebody came into my office and, you know, they dragged their boyfriend in there because, you know, they'd been to see me a couple times. They felt like he needed to hear something, brought him in. And anyways, he's just, I'm not saying nothing, you know, and he's folded his arms. And anyways, and so I looked at him and just some came to me. I said, well, what if? He said, what if perhaps, you know, and I started to speak to him. And his eyes went narrow like this. He looked at her and he says, did you tell him? She says, I haven't told him anything. He looked at me and he goes, how do you know all this? I said, you don't understand. God's not trying to impress you that I know. He's trying to make sure you understand he knows. And I didn't know. I just thought I was just sharing some thought that came to me, you know, but I was obedient to share it. Okay. Cause I guess I want you to understand that it's, you know how they do it in the movies. I think movies are a disaster for us spiritually. Okay. Because you know, when some spirits is going to happen, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you hear the rumble of thunder off and just you know, and then something happens in the sky. And you know. Do you know that when miracles occur, that it's almost never like that? Okay, you know, but Cecil B. DeMille, I guess he was sort of our friend, you know, I mean, you know, he wanted us to think, you know, that, you know, Charlton Heston, you know, up on the cliff there, you know. But when God uses you, more likely, if there's any awe-inspiring effect, it might be in the heart of the person that's being touched by what it is that God had you do or say. All right? And so, all right, so there are different ways that God works or operates, all right? But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, and we talked about how that makes us more better. You know, it's a combination of the word, of the idea being more and being better together as we operate in these things. God makes what's happening more and better. All right, and the scripture that, I mean, I think I spent a year with you on this one, but it's as each one has received this special gift, charisma, okay, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, now here, this is where I want to spend a little time. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Okay, so let's spend some time with this one, okay, because I think if you get the idea, you'll be able to understand the other ones. All right, so if I'm going to speak, let me speak as somebody who's speaking for God. I'm speaking what God is trying to say. So now how might that affect us at the grocery store? You know, how might that affect us with our kids? How might that affect us just in interactions with people in any situation that, you know, my mother used to have a version of this. She'd say, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all, right? Okay, better to be silent than to say stuff that you shouldn't say, you know. And I learned last night that probably I should have listened to my mother, you know. But, you know, but there's just, we all do it, right? We have those moments where we, but okay, so first and foremost, what if I was really trying to be aware, particularly when I get into situations where I know it's going to be incumbent upon me to speak? What if I started getting to the place where it's like, look, God, if you don't give me something to say, I might not say anything. I'm gonna get a little quieter here and just wait for you to show me what to say, because whatever I speak, I want to speak as you speak. In fact, if you don't tell me what to speak, I might not speak. All right. This was a lesson that I learned with a 6'8" former Marine drill instructor, not a former Marine, still a Marine, but he's not a drill instructor anymore. Anyways, you know, standing over me, okay, shaking his fist in my face and asking me if I wanted him to go to jail tonight. And my exact words to God at the moment were, if you don't give me something to say, I'm not saying anything. Okay? It was incumbent upon me to speak, but it was like, God, I need from you what to speak. And God gave me what to speak, and I spoke it. And no rumble of thunder off in the distance, you know, no eerie music, all right? This guy turned his back to me quickly, and I didn't see what was going on the other side of that back, but he just broke down in tears, started weeping because of what God used that word to do in his heart. That's where the power was showing up, was in his heart. All right? That if anybody's going to speak, you know, let have speak as the utterances of God. Oh, Pastor, I might never speak again for the rest of my life if I did that. You might have to wait. You might have to wait. But I'm going to go for this. I think God wants you to speak. All right, my children can tell you crazy stories about being brought up in our household. And, you know, one of the stories they can tell you about how my father used to have us go and stand at the other, as far away from him as we could in the house, and get a book that we could read and just stand over there and read it loud enough so he could hear us and clear enough so he could understand every syllable. And if we got one syllable wrong, he'd have us start over. And Dad. You know, why do you make us do this? And I said, because you have an important message, and when you speak it, people need to be able to understand you. All right, now that is a practical of a spiritual, which is, you know something? You and I have a powerful ministry. You have a powerful ministry, I have a powerful ministry. We have opportunities afforded to us each day, and if I'm gonna speak, God, I want to speak what you have for me to speak. Now, I will tell you, in between, while I'm waiting for those words, sometimes I get yakking, okay? You know that about me, because I do talk, right? All right, me and Bill can get talking. You might never get a word in edgewise, right? Okay, because we're talkers, all right? And that's merely an indication that perhaps, you know, that might be where God might decide to put his gift somewhere, because he doesn't have to worry about whether or not we're going to say what he tells us. Well, maybe sometimes he does, but okay. So, now I know I'm over here somewhere. Yeah, okay, so... Yeah, so you've received. So whoever speaks is to do so, do is one who is speaking the utterance of God. You know, so it's like, I want to speak with that care that I speak. If you know, that little nudge inside and you don't know if it's, you know, yourself or God. All right, let me get you past that bump in the road, okay? That moment when, you know, I think maybe I'm supposed to say thus and so, all right? If you never make any mistakes, you aren't trying hard enough. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, just please understand that, yeah, that time, Dave, how many times sitting around the campfire in Ukraine, did you come to that moment where you're going, is that me or is that God? And you just have to, you know, yeah. You know, I mean, it's just, how many times you're sitting home and, you know, and it's getting to be Thursday and, you know, Pastor Don's watching the emails for the song list and, you know, and if it gets to be Friday, you sort of throw in a little apology and say, sorry, this is late. But, you know, you're praying, you're saying, God, and, you know, and you got these songs and you're thinking, I don't know, is that, you know. So you finally just commit yourself and you put the list down and you email the thing out, and every week you take a chance, you know. And little by little over time, you start to understand a little bit of what is from God and what isn't. Now, it didn't come instantaneously, and quite frankly, it probably would have never come if you never sent any of the emails. Okay, and if you never... Okay, if you, sorry about that. Okay, that'll be great out on the radio. You know, it's like, yeah, something, yeah. Yeah. So anyways, but the, no. So anyways, the, you know, so, but if you never sent the first email, you just said, no, I'm too afraid. What if it's the wrong song list? I'm just not sending it. All right, well, the thing is, you'll never learn when God is speaking to you and when God isn't. All right, but when you come in and you find out that the sermon... that like 3 out of 5 of the songs that you have in this list are things that just flow right into the sermon, all right? And then when you find out that things that the pastor didn't have planned but just kind of happened because people have prayer requests and things, you know, that the other two songs hit those things, and you start going, whoa, wow, God was speaking through me. All right, now there are, yes, sir, go ahead. In fact, the scriptures are very clear on this, that that if a person thinks something is wrong and does it anyways, they're wrong, even if what they were doing was actually right. In other words, if I thought giving you a hug this morning was wrong and went ahead and did it anyways, I was wrong, even though you're thinking, yeah, I wanted a hug from you this morning. You know, I mean, because my heart wasn't right. All right, but back to this thing where it's like, so wait a minute, you as one of God's children have a willing heart. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and there's just times where, right, exactly. Here, you know, I was there watching all this unfold. I watched her come to the place where she decided she was firing this doctor, and I saw that we won't say who, but a lot of folks did not agree with your decision. And quite frankly, you are probably sitting here smiling and healthy with us today because you discerned something and acted upon it. Now, what if she was wrong? What if she didn't really hear from God and just made the decision anyways? All right, because she really believed that what she had was from God and she was acting upon it. Does God say, ha, 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 boy, are you going to suffer for this? No, not at all. No, he'll work through it. He'll work through your obedience. He'll work through your submitted heart. Yeah. See, now, I wasn't going to tell any names. Okay. But, you know, so if you're going to speak is like, it's the utterance of God, all right? And now, the one who serves, okay? Now, this is a praying church, it's a serving church, all right? And so, the ones who serve are to do it as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, all right? Last night, I had to go through a shift, okay, because I got out here helping with the parking, all right? We had somebody did a wedding reception, and I was helping with the parking, and it was raining, and it was miserable, and frankly, 99.9% of the people who came were just great, but a couple were really hard to deal with, all right? And I was doing my best job of pretending that I was being patient with them, okay? You know, inside, I was just not doing well with this, okay? And I won't go to the details and everything like that because that's not the purpose of this. But at some point, I had to shift over to awareness that it's like, no, do this with what God supplies and just do it, you know. And I went from being angry, all right, to like laughing, you know. And it was like, you know, God just gave lightened my spirit and you know, made it so I could do it with joy, all right. But whoever is serving is the one serving by the strength which God supplies. Now, here's the so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Here's what it is. I mean, we had those neighbors, she came and visited. You might remember this lady who used to live across the street. And what it was is that we'd been witnessing to them and just loving on them in Jesus' name. And they came to us one day and said, we've decided that we want to have the ideal life. And we found the ideal state, and we decided that's Vermont. And we want to move to Vermont, but we've decided that our life would not be ideal unless we can take you with us. And I said, no, you've got us confused with somebody else. I said, what you've been seeing in us that you desire to take with you, that's Jesus. I said, that's not me. I says, I'm nowhere near what you're describing, okay? I says, Jesus, that's what you've been seeing in us, and that's what you're desiring. So you're not going to go? You know, it's like, you know. and so they moved away. They found Jesus, right? And so then we saw her back in church. But see, here's what it is that whatever I'm saying, whatever I'm doing, okay, and you kind of saw this, you know, the comparison between the two experiences, you know, and you're still processing it, I can tell, you know, so I say, you know, but it's just like, okay, I look over here and I see these people that are just kind of like, hey, I got to do this, I may not be prepared, but I'm just going to do it anyways, I'm going to step into this thing, and it's not perfect, you know, but my heart is with the Lord, and I'm saying, God, use me, and I see the product of this. And then I go over to performance land, okay, where, and there's nothing evil about performance land. I mean, it's part of the reality we live in, okay, and I see something else. I see people that are so desirous of developing their abilities so that they can, you know, they can be something big, all right? Most of what you absorb as entertainment is made from here, okay? All right, it is. We really like watching people who do that, okay? But then here comes the question. It's like, for me, what am I going to learn from this? I step into this place and I say, okay, there is this powerful performance which is centered on me. There is this powerful service that I'm doing with what God gives me. And my desire over here is that God be glorified. My desire over here is that I become famous and rich. Okay? And so we're being asked to choose here. Do we want, you know, comfort zone, ease, and everybody, you know, thinking well of us? Or are we willing to step over in this other place and serve Jesus, you know, with what he supplies us, and run the risk that somebody might not like us? You know, we might have an awkward, I can guarantee you, promise you this, you're going to have some awkward moments. Right? Don Perkins, Carl, you know, you guys, Alex, you know, I mean, you're going to have some awkward moments, okay? You know, if you decide you're just going to just say, God, look, you give me, I'm gonna give out what you give me, and you be glorified, okay? And so, real quick, and then I'm gonna let you go, all right? Because we started late. Right. Word of wisdom, okay? The Spirit enables us to receive wisdom from the Holy Spirit and speak it, all right? There are times when at Teen Challenge, I mean. Gail here. She's, you know, she's got all the training, right? And it's like, and so people come in with these crazy problems. I don't know what. You know, I mean, pastors in town would run out of ideas, and they say, well, go talk to Don Bolt over at Teen Challenge. What? I mean, these guys got educations beyond anything I ever dreamed of having or anything like that. What do they send them to me for? And they'd sit there, and they'd pour out their hearts and tell me what was going on in their life, and I look at them and go, I say, Lord, you got to give me some answers here because I don't know a thing here. So I started speaking what came to my heart, and God started delivering people. You know, just word of wisdom. It was nothing about me. There was a probation officer. I used to go see him. And anyways, he asked me a question about something he was working on, some person. And I didn't know. So I just, Lord, you know, give me some. Gave him a word. Come back the next month, and he says, whoa. He goes, you know, that turned out to be exactly what's going on there. So how about that? Anyways, so after several months of doing this, finally he says, where'd you go to school? And I said, well, I don't know how to tell you, but I don't have a whole lot of school. And he says, you know, where'd you learn all that? I said, no, it's not. I didn't learn anything. He says, it's something God gave me. And he's like, yeah, okay. You're spiritual. I get it. You're a pastor and all that. You know. And I said, no. You don't understand. That's really what it is. He goes, well, I got one for you. Could you be willing to sit down and talk with somebody? We've been working with this person for years. We have no idea how to help this person. We don't even know what's going on in their life. Could you sit down with them and just talk to them? Sure. So sat down 15, 20 minutes, listened to the story, prayed, said, God, give me some, walked out. Gave this guy about four sentences, walked out the door. He called me on the phone like 2 days later. He goes, that's amazing. He said, you know, and I said, but you understand, it's Jesus. It's not me. And I said, stop being impressed with me. Please understand, what you're seeing is Jesus. I know your tendency. You know, Paul and Silas, can't remember, Don, help. You know, they walked into town and they laid hands on sick people. They got healed and they started worshiping them. Yeah, it was Silas or I don't know. Paul was somebody anyway. So Barnabas? I think I'm going for Barnabas, yeah. I thought Barnabas, but then I thought, I don't know. Somebody, yeah. So anyways, but it could be you, all right? Not Paul, though, Jesus in you. There is this propensity when they see the Spirit of God work in you to want to worship you. No. Word of knowledge. Spirit enables us to receive knowledge from the Holy Spirit and speak it. Things that nobody knew, but you know. How'd you know that? I didn't know it. God just told me. And Susie and I were, you know, after Peter died, and you know, this guy came and he had a prophetic gift, you know, and I don't know. Anyways, and so he starts answering questions that I'm asking in my heart. You know, it was this thing where I was really, you know, kind of tired of life, quite honestly. And so he's praying for me, and I started getting a little chest pain. And I literally said in my heart to God, I said, it'll be okay. In other words, take me. And he opens his eyes, looks at me, and he says, that's selfish thinking. He says, there's people who need you. You can stop thinking that way. And I'm like, whoa. You know, and I closed my eyes, and I said, you know, Lord, I just wish I could hear you the way I used to hear you. And he reaches over, he puts his hand on my ear, and he says, and Lord, I pray you'd restore his sense of spiritual hearing the way he used to be able to hear you. Okay? So there's things that just, you know, like, he knew. How do you know? God told him. All right, faith. The Spirit persuades, the Spirit-persuaded heart and moral conviction that doesn't back down. All right? That just doesn't back down. Healing. The Holy Spirit heals the sick through us. Effecting miracles, the Spirit enables us to work in ways that show the power and ability of God. All right, prophecy, primarily to foretell events, but includes teaching that guides us, it guides at a future time, okay? So as you get a teaching, then it doesn't make any sense now, and then all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, wow. All right, and distinguishing of spirits, okay? And it's kind of self-defining. Tongues and interpretation, the Holy Spirit enables us to speak an unknown language or to interpret the same. And so, we're going to spend a little time with some of this. I'm never going to arm wrench you into anything. You know, I'm not trying to turn this into a charismaniac church or anything. But here's what it is that there's something that you are wonderful at, which is loving people. You are just, people come in here and they don't get back out the door without knowing that they're loved, you know, by you. And that they're loved in some way that helps them understand this is God's love. All right? This is that on steroids. Okay, this is what God is saying there. What you are wonderful at, that is Spirit empowered to do it. You know that you start realizing, wait a minute. You know, there was somebody that couldn't be reached, but God reached him because I was just obedient enough to just yield when He gave me something and to do the things that He gave me. I served with the strength that He provided. I served with the revelation that He gave.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.